For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Storytime with Joey Harrington, brought to you by Mods PDX. And Joey, we're technically at the start of the college football season with the whole week zero thing, but it doesn't really feel like the start of football season. Also, hello, it's Buckley. Rop not here once again.
Okay, well, you jumped right in with this. So first of all, you weren't here for last week's conversation where they informed me that story time was officially over and the college football season started this today, so you're kind of like,
well, we're kind of fence sitting this week. It's like the football's here. We can talk about football, but you know, it's like it's still the preseason. It's the week zero. What do you think about this whole thing?
Do we play this week?
No.
So, I mean, I don't know. What do you want to? I'm literally just like, I'm so confused right now. Rob said last week that we couldn't talk stories anymore. We had to talk football this week. And then you come on and say that it's not really football season, but Rob's not here. He's in like Isachi town. And then Sook's over there. He hasn't said peep at all. So it's like, what the hell is going on? Where do we stand? Pick a lane.
The substitute teacher is in. And so it's just, you can do whatever you want. I want to show a film strip today. That's where I'm at.
Oh, sweet. What movie? Okay. What was the best movie that a teacher ever showed you for substitute teachers? And yeah, we're just going to watch a movie today.
I'm trying to think. I always enjoyed when they did like those bad. I remember in health class, I kid you not, Ben Affleck was in it, and it was about – I forget the name of it, but Ben Affleck was like a high school athlete, and then he took steroids and then became like this monster.
What?
He was like the most angry human being ever, and then he started just like raging, and then at the end of it, it was like, don't do drugs. I always liked those. Like the cheesiest, the worst 1980s film strips that the school could come up with that taught us, like, if you did anything wrong, you would end up the worst human being ever and also in prison.
Is that, does this is your brain on drugs? Is that in a similar category for you? This is your brain on drugs.
Very similar. Did you get any of those, or was that just on my side of the river? Because we got like
the steroids. No, I didn't get any of the steroids. No.
I'm going to look up and see what that is. I kid you not. It is, when you go back and see it, there's like clips on YouTube. It is hilarious. He's like this very loving, like nice young man. And then like he can't get over the hump in like high school football. So he turns to the evils of steroids. And next thing you know, he's like beating his girlfriend and he's like getting kicked out and he's like trying to score on the street. And it's like, this is your life. And then at the end, I was like, what did we just watch? And why did we just spend an hour doing this?
Good God. This could also kind of qualify as story time with Sook, right? This is like the high school story for you of how you got into college football.
Yeah. How we molded a young man.
Yeah. At the end of it, I'm like, hey, how do I get some of that stuff that Ben Affleck was on? That's the sort of drive and motivation that I need. Let's go. I'm like, I'm going to raise my hand. Hey, teacher, where do I score?
Yeah, I never saw that movie, but I do remember Latimer from The Program. That was the one that always stuck out to me. That dude that
they showed that to you in school?
I don't think we showed it to me in school. What I did see in school was Band of Brothers. I had a history teacher that left that behind and introduced me to it. I'm like, okay, cool, that's good.
Band of Brothers. I was trying to think. There was some. As soon as I asked the question, I was like, I don't even have a good answer for it. But there was one teacher who I want to say, oh yeah, we watched The Sandlot.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, that's excellent.
Yeah. We watched The Sandlot in a religion class once. And I was like, ooh, here we go. Like, where are we tying this one in? So, yeah, that was probably it for me.
And where was the time?
Or was there one?
There probably wasn't, but we've had the conversation that the Sandlot is the greatest sports movie in the history of sports movies. So turn the page. Here we go.
That, by the way, the movie that I'm referring to, because I've got a Sandlot reference too, it's called A Body to Die For. Starring.
It sounds like Fatal Attraction. Like it sounds like a Sharon Stone kind of yes. A Body to Die For.
Seriously, it's amazing. Yeah, it says a warning about athletes using steroids. Gets down to business with a dramatizing true account of high school football player Aaron Henry, who trying to better himself for autumn scrimmage starts shooting up. That's the synopsis. And just once he starts shooting up to better himself for autumn scrimmages, all hell breaks loose. That being said, I just saw this. The guy that plays Smalls in Sandlot just got arrested like a week ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, it's really bad. It's like awful. He's.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's
with
like.
Wendy Peppercorn with him?
I wish. Dude, he is. It does not look good. Like, he's shirtless. And he gets caught like on a ring. He's like super white trash hillbilly now. And he's shirtless and he goes over to his neighbor's house on the ring camera and he starts cursing at him. And then he kicks their car. It's like he's all drunk. It's bad. And so, like it broke my heart because it's Smalls. Like we love Smalls. That's like one of the great characters in movie history.
Oh, wait a minute. Smalls. I thought you were saying Squint.
No, like, no, Smalls.
Squint Pelidoris.
No, Smalls. The main guy.
Oh,
Scotty Smalls.
Yeah, Scotty Smalls. Like the kid actor that played him apparently now is falling on hard times and he's shirtless and kicking neighbors' cars and like just shouting things and then the cops come and haul him away.
You know what it was? Benny the Jet wasn't there to bail him out.
Well, he probably started steroids for the autumn scrimmage.
Probably. You know, he couldn't get the ball in from center field when Benny the Jet hit it to him and, you know, then all of a sudden it's needle in the butt.
Next thing you know, he's watching a Ben Affleck movie. He's like, I got to get ready. And next, you know, he's getting arrested. No, it was kind of creepy because I haven't seen anything from most of those guys never went on and did much of anything else. And
well, that is literally what I was going to ask. Yeah. I wonder if like having that type of success and that type of, I don't want to say fame, but like, you know, everybody knows Smalls,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to be that young, like, how do you handle becoming Smalls and then not having any sort of success, movie success after that? I mean, it's that, you know, we talk about the mental health thing, but like to be able to deal with that as a kid, like, no, I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Absolutely.
Did you guys see the one, like the kid from Mighty Ducks, Goldberg? He had a whole arc like that.
Yeah.
Like he went through, because he was the big heavy kid and that was his thing. And I think he was in like heavyweights and a couple other things. And he got into like hard drugs and theft. And he had a mugshot where it looked like he lost like 150 pounds. And I guess he finally straightened himself out, but it looked like it was going to a bad place.
Well, it can't be healthy for you to be, you know, I mean, I know some people turn out okay, but I just think in general, I mean, Joe, you got young kids. You imagine all of a sudden those kids are responsible for your family's financial well-being, and you know, mom takes them off to California while dad stays behind, and you know, I can only imagine. I know sports it can be tricky navigating it with the whole youth thing, but I got to believe that Hollywood is 100 times worse.
Well, it worked out well for Dustin Diamond, so I don't know. I figure it should probably work out, you know. I don't know. I don't really buy your argument.
Yeah. I mean, do you pay any attention? Like, because, I mean, we talk about youth sports a bunch, and your kids are very much into soccer, and, you know, a lot of people come up and always want to, you know, ask me about their kids playing sports. Do you, I don't know, what kind of guardrails do you put in place, you know, for your kids when it comes to, I don't know, just, I guess, protecting them from what youth sports can be?
Yeah, we were very, Emily and I were talked about that from the beginning. You know, it's, we were not going to feed into the, I want to say just the pipeline, the one, you know, you have to specialize as a third grader, right? If you're not on a travel team by the time you're 10, then, you know, then you're toast. Like, I'm sorry. Like that's just a line that's fed to parents to get them to pay for more club sports, but it's also damaging to the kids, right? You know, for an 11-year-old to be told that you are a soccer player, you are a baseball player, you are, right? And all of a sudden you don't make the high school team, or somebody grows more than than you do from, you know, from age 10 to 13, or you don't grow like somebody else, or and frankly, the fact that you're limiting all these experiences of teamwork and frankly, adversity, right? That kids grow and learn and end up better, not by being a superstar, but by facing some sort of adversity and realizing, hey, you know what? I'm a really good soccer player. But when I play basketball, I'm not the best player. Like, how do I find a role? How do I fit in? How do I, you know, how do I adjust? How do I say, oh, okay, like, this is what it takes for me to be a good teammate. And now when I come back to soccer and see that kid who may fit into that role that I played in basketball, how do I interact with them? Like, that was the way that we dealt with it. It was like, we're not even going to validate, you know, you understand that at a certain point, like, you know, you get into high school sports and, you know, you got to be focused on it. But when our kids were 9, 10, 11 years old, no, thank you. Like, play sports and play everything that you possibly can all year long.
And I feel like for a lot of kids, some of that's getting, like you said, it's kind of getting taken away because there's, you know, whether it's true or not, there's certainly a perception. I think with some cases it is that if you don't commit to that, you, at least in some coach's eyes, or maybe even in skill wise as you develop, you kind of get left behind. And that's the part that bums me out, is no kid at 10 or 11 should be left behind because they don't want to do something year round.
It's dumb. Like, anybody who says that your 10-year-old's going to get left behind has never seen, is like, walk away. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if a coach tells you if your 10-year-old isn't on the travel ball team, or, you know, that they're not going to play high school sports, I'm sorry. Like, it's been fun, you know, thanks, but no thanks.
Amen. Because it's like, I tell people all the time, I mean, I got stories about, you know, we had a walk-on quarterback at BYU, and after a year, he was like, yeah, that didn't happen at quarterback, and he put on 25 pounds and then walked on as a tight end, and then 2 years later, finally got to play a little bit. Senior year, actually started, third-round pick, played 9 years in the NFL as a tight end, and he was a walk-on, he was a walk-on quarterback. It took him 2.5 years to even get a scholarship, and actually, I think he went from tight end, or I think he went from quarterback to, like, D-end to tight end. And I think it was his third position. And his name was Doug Jolly, and he got drafted by the.
Oh, I know Doug. Yeah,
got drafted by the Raiders and played a number of years. And, you know, I always tell people about that, and that he had never, and he just was one of those. He just was a good athlete, but he was never one specific thing. And you want to talk about late bloomers, and dude, the world's full of those kids. And it bums me to know that there's a lot of kids out there that will never get that opportunity because they've been sold a bill of goods.
And I guarantee you that the best athlete or the best kid in whatever sport as a 9 or 10 year old will not be the best kid in that sport as a 13 or 14 year old.
Yep.
It won't.
Yep.
Because the kids who excel at age 9 and 10 are generally, you know, they've developed sooner, right? Yeah, the kid that puts on a little bit of height and a little bit of muscle mass as a 13-year-old, all of a sudden, you know, that superstar at 9 and 10 doesn't grow anymore. I don't know. How do we get down? So we start from, like,
Ben Affleck
and steroids to substitute high school teachers in movies because Rop is gone, who, by the way, we haven't even discussed, like, how infrequently this guy actually works.
Especially,
and now we're on to, like, yeah, no kidding. And now we're on to, like, life lessons about like youth sports. Can we please take a commercial break and reset? Because we have in the words of the immortal poet, David Spade, you have derailed. Like, this is, we have derailed.
This is all very true. We will reset. You're listening to Storytime with Joey Harrington, brought to you by Mods PDX on 1080 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back to Story Time. Or maybe it isn't Story Time. Maybe it's just football season with Joey Harrington. We still haven't really decided. Joey, have you recollected yourself after this break? Are you feeling ready to go for any topics, or do we need to go a specific route here?
No, you always know that I'm wide open. I was simply just saying that I was told last week that we weren't allowed to tell stories anymore. So, you know, that we've graduated. I was told it was the last story time and we've moved to Football Friday. So, you know, I keep an open mind. You just bring them and you put them on the tee and I'll knock them out of the park.
Fair enough. Well, let's tee it up with football first. And then I do have a dessert question for you on the back end as well. Okay. Football wise, Suk and I were talking a little bit earlier about just all the changes that have happened from the end of last season to now, and how there's been just so much talk and rhetoric about how much the landscape has changed, how much the game has changed, how different it looks than before. Has everything that's happened changed at all what your expectations are for this season as how it's going to feel to consume the game?
Be more specific. What changes specifically are you talking about?
Realignment, the even higher
college
spike.
Football realignment, okay.
The higher spike in transfers, the new faces, new places, more so than ever before.
Right.
Suk and I were also talking about the way that different programs are trying to get money. The QR codes on the backs of the helmets.
QR code on the back of the helmet. Uh-huh.
So there are a lot of elements like that where I think people, whether it's on X or on your television set or on radio shows, maybe like this one, have talked about how different things are. Are you expecting that to be that way at all? Or is it just going to come down to football as football once we kick things off again?
I have resigned myself to the fact that college football that I knew and that we all knew for the last 100+ years does not exist anymore, yeah. Right? So, or I should say the structure under which it operates does not exist. Now, if you can accept that, then you move forward and you say, well, football's football. Right? They're just playing football. If you're not worried about the context in which it happens, then it's football. I am worried that if there isn't some sort of, right, I don't think there's anybody who would not say that this is the collegiate football is now professional football. If there is not some sort of collective bargaining agreement, some sort of oversight board, union, like something to put in place some sort of guardrails, competitive balance, then we're going to end up in a situation that, you know, where we were, call it the 1960s and 70s, where there's 8 to 10 teams who can compete because, you know, they're buying the players and hiding them in hotel rooms and, you know, and stacking their running back room. But it doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that possibility, but it still doesn't change. I guess I should say I look at it from the perspective of we're also on the inside of that, right? You know, we're one of those, and I say we, Oregon, is one of those 8 to 10 teams that has a shot and will continue to have a shot as long as they keep, you know, spending in the way that the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the Michigans do. You know, that's the reality of it. Now, if I was sitting on the outside and I'm Oregon State or I'm Washington State or I'm any of the other smaller schools, even, you know, call it West Virginia or somebody that's in a smaller school in the Big 12 Conference, am I excited to watch it? I don't know. Not really, because I know that I don't really stand a chance. So I don't know. I I think some of the excitement has been taken out of it, in that you truly don't have an any given Saturday this year. You know, you've got the haves and the have-nots more than you ever have, so it changes how you approach it that way. But at the end of the day, it's still football. If you love football, you're watching football.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, you mentioned the guardrails, and honestly, unless the government steps in and does some sort of antitrust thing, or they come up with, you get enough people together to come up with a set of rules. But again, without a collectively bargained agreement, they'll just keep losing in court. I just try to think about any other sport, because you mentioned it's professional sports. Can you imagine any other professional sport without a collective bargaining agreement, where it was just owners, every owner, every player, every team got to do what they want? Oh my gosh. Like, the amount of just absolute chaos, that zombie land. I mean, it would just absolutely be Thunderdome, but it's a little bit of kind of what we have in college football. And that's, I guess I hadn't really thought about it that way, but when you kind of brought that up, it just kind of got me thinking. Imagine taking all the rules out of the NFL and you just said, hey, every team, do what you want.
Jerry
Go.
Jones, you right? can pay whatever you want. Right? Right?
You know, just,
and well, yeah, it's at a certain level. I mean, it's a bad example, but you know, in baseball, how many baseball teams actually have a chance to win the World Series every year? 8, 6.
Yeah.
10? I mean, there's this whole group of MLB teams that, even within this salary cap system, or not salary cap, but even within their collective bargaining system, they don't have a salary cap. And so there's teams that are going to stack it every single year, and teams that just say, nah, I'm good. Yeah. You know, I don't know. If you're asking me about the football itself, I love watching football. If you're asking me about the structure under which the football operates in the collegiate system, yeah, we got issues. But, you know, I just feel, you know, thank God we're involved. Yeah. You know, thank God we're on the inside and not the outside, like some, you know, saps like BYU.
Hey, 1984 national championship, baby. We're going to hold on to that one forever.
Yeah, that might be the last time you see a trophy. I'm just saying.
I promise you it's the last time. But I mean, I hear from BYU fans, and I tell them all the time, I'm like, good luck, man. Like, everyone wants to pretend that they have a shot at it now that it's expanded. I just laugh. And I'm like, dude, you didn't have, if anything, you have a worse chance at it now. It's actually harder for those schools. It was easier under the old system, believe it or not, to have one fluky year and win one or two games. But the way it is now, no, it's actually harder.
Well, I will say that those teams, you know, the BYU or whoever at each year, will have an easier time getting in.
Sure.
Right? Yep. You know, you're going to have an easier time getting into the playoff. Mm-hmm. But the moment BYU lines up against Georgia, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yep.
Right? And let's say, fine, let's say you pull a BYU over Oklahoma. You go Statue of Liberty and two-point conversion and hook and ladder, and you find yourself winning one game in the college football playoff. Oh, guess what? Now you got to play, you know, you did that against Georgia. Now you got to play Ohio State. Like, there's just no way that those teams can consistently walk through the gauntlet of what is going to be a playoff system featuring teams that with $100 million salaries, you know, like payrolls.
Couldn't agree more. Boise State was a great game when they beat Oklahoma, but if Ohio State was, the next week would have been bad. And if you find a way that, there's another one after that, it ain't happening.
Nope.
All right, Joey, we know we got to get you out of here. Real quick, someone brought in an orange dreamsicle cheesecake to work today. Ooh. One, is that up your alley? Two, what is Joey Harrington's favorite dessert?
I mean, we're talking about like the orange sherbet, and you know, like that with the white inside. That is pretty okay. Here's what I'll say. I'm going straight dreamsicle if it comes in a plastic cup with a wooden spoon that leaves a splinter on your tongue.
Excellent.
That's the place where dreamsicle exists. Mm-hmm. Cheesecake, I'm going to say, I have to go with my mother-in-law, Patty Hatton's cheesecake as the best cheesecake I've had. I don't know that I would combine a splintered tongue dreamsicle with Patty's cheesecake.
Understand. You got to have, again, guardrails. You got to protect someone from yourself. I get it.
Yeah, there are good things, you know, like there's lots of good things out there. That doesn't mean that you should put it all together and do it in excess.
I like it.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. Next week, however, we will have Ducks football, and we will have real football talk with Joey Harrington. Storytime with Joey Harrington is brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. The club is coming up next. First, we need to find out what happened with that Sandlot guy. I'm not familiar with those details. It's 1080, The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.